Are we live? Are we popping? Are we Papadopoulos on this motherfucker? We are. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Touchdowns All Day with John Barber podcast, the quarantine edition. We're pumping out these podcasts for you guys right now. This is the third episode of this tranche, if you will. This is the round table edition. So, you know, we've done a lot of coronavirus stuff, and it just seems like it's heavy. So this is some stuff we cut a little bit ago, and it's just pure comedy. It's just a bunch of guys out having fun. And we think you're going to really like this episode. It's a good vibe. It's a good feel, and we're dropping it. So enjoy. There's not much for me to say on this one. Maybe I can introduce the participants. It's myself, Crunk Mike, Chris Lindvall, the Swedish Fish, and Brandon from Bro Bible, I think, makes an appearance. Maybe not in this edition. I believe that he's in. There's going to be a couple of these. So he's going to be in these. And we're going to drop these if you guys like them. If they're funny and you like them, we'll put out a couple more if you guys are into it. Just kind of a hangout. We call it a round table. We hang out. We mic it up. We don't really have an agenda. And we just jam. We just jam. Try and make some funny stuff happen. And I think funny's good in the quarantine, you know. It's a good time to drop this. We are sponsored by at Gray Star Collective. Give them a follow on Instagram. Those guys are fully supporting the podcast during our quarantine editions. They're a CBD startup based out of Denver. They make hemp products, smokable hemp, pre-rolls, edibles, tinctures, topicals. And they can be your one-stop shop for wonderful CBD products. If you want a list of products, price listing, email Ryan at Gray Star Collective. That's G-R-E-Y. And let them know that you appreciate them putting together a package for the podcast so we could make some quarantine additions for you guys. It's really great. So I'm just going to jump right into this because there's not much. There's very little introduction that it needs. So we're just going to pop into it. Here's the theme song. Have fun. See you on the other side.
Wear masks, communicate. Wear masks, communicate.
Touchdowns All Day with John Barber podcast is brought to you by the Osiris Podcast Network in conjunction with Rich Steele, Crunk Mike, Vic Sobti, and the entire Touchdowns All Day family. We say have a happy quarantine and we love you. All right, so we have some music to play today. Interesting piece from back in 2000. This is the Biscuits version of Beethoven's Ninth, which is crazy. I don't know why we didn't do this all the time. It's an amazing piece. We were really into learning songs from the score by the actual composer. So what we would do is we would go to, there's a huge library in Philadelphia where they had all these scores, and we would go in and get the actual Tchaikovsky scores, the actual Beethoven scores, and learn from there. So we're not learning from, you know, some piano reduction, which is frankly an easier way to do it, but you miss notes that way because they reduce, and when they reduce they simplify because they think you're gonna play it like a Christmas party or some shit. I wanted the juice. I wanted the real notes. I wanted all those weird notes that Tchaikovsky and Beethoven use. So we got the actual scores, the symphonic scores. I think me, Aaron, and Mark went, and then we boiled it down to a three, you know, section thing, and then added drums. Little fake out intro there. Magner with the Clockwork Orange keyboard sound. super cool. I'd love to do that again. I wish we had all the scores that we used to make that stuff back in the day. I love the way Beethoven works. I just love the way Beethoven winds his lines around each other. I love the way he brings his music to crescendos. If you guys ever get a chance to come buy a CD that I lost when we transferred from CDs to digital, it's Beethoven's final five or six piano sonatas on one or two CDs. It's just the final, it's like 30 through 35 or 31 through 36 or something like that. They're numbered for those of you who are wondering what that means. And it's just the music is, he's on some level. I don't know if he's deaf at the time, but the way that those piano sonatas play from front to back, each one is a very thing. I could listen to that CD that I had back in the day, which is the last six piano sonatas by Beethoven. I would bring that to a desert island for sure. It's just most unbelievable. So let's see how the band's going to turn this into a jam. Sounds to me like we're getting into a little groovy thing here. Jams from 99 and 2000, when they get into this colorful period, I always thought this was the kind of music that when we colonize the moon and we have these huge glass gardens filled with just green lush, and there's like water being piped in and air being piped in and stuff being filled and removed and added and fertilizers to get this green stuff to grow. I always thought this era of the Biscuits is the music that they would play, kind of a little bit in the speakers in the corner all over the garden, so that the plants have something to listen to while they grow. And I know that sounds absurd, but if you were a plant and you were just growing, 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 wouldn't you want to listen to something like this? We'll be right back.
Jeff Williams. Pages they will fill up. Phone and names will overload so far.
You're getting super-madoo, but you just don't know when it will happen. You're getting super-madoo, but the time's just not right.
Classic dreamy intro to the jam. Play something loopy that's not in four. Thank you. beautiful section of just plants growing on the moon. I love the way that we kind of meshed two similar harmonic ideas into a piece, and you can hear myself, you can hear Mark do it a bunch, dancing around the changes a little bit, not hammering them home so much. And right as I say that, listen to where we're going. Love that jam. That was out there. That was 30 minutes or more of just weird ecosystem style rotation jams, which goes anywhere. It goes to these places that are very physical. They're very much three-dimensional. And the music kind of stays the same in a weird way, but then it develops this grit, and it develops this movement, and then it wiggles and shakes. And sometimes it just straight up explodes out of control. It is just free-form jamming, and it's great to hear. And I like that that era has that vibe, and it's hard to recapture that vibe because there's just a certain jazziness in it. You know, it sounds a lot like techno jazz to me, which is cool. So thanks for listening. We have a special roundtable edition right here. This is, we got a couple of these, so hopefully you'll enjoy it. It's a little levity in this quarantine. Lighten it up a little bit. We're going to have some fun. The roundtable is Crunk Mike, Chris, the Swedish Fish, Lindvall, and myself. And I guess Brandon from Pro Bibles on this one or the next one. We'll see. And I'm glad you guys are listening. Check it out. Here it is.
We're mass communicating.
You said you're bringing whiskey and I got wine and beer.
Dude, I was mistaken. I took the back roads here.
You were like, boom.
Who was in charge of bringing whiskey?
I talked to both of them and they both said they were bringing whiskey. So I was like, I'll get the vino. And then he didn't get it. But Brandon.
It's Blues Legend Bro Bible. It's always in charge of bringing that whiskey.
Yeah. Bro Bible hasn't played a show in 20 years without a fresh bottle of whiskey by his side.
Bro Bible was like, well, I got some Johnny Walker Game of Thrones edition. I was like, John likes Game of Thrones. We all like, yeah, bring that over.
Yeah.
If you were going to guess between two names of a Swede named Chris Lindvall and a dude named Bro Bible, who was bringing whiskey and who's bringing White Claw in that part? That's all I got to say.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
Bro Bible's bringing the whiskey? Yeah.
He's bringing actually both.
Can we double check that actually, just Bro Bible's bringing the whiskey? Can we just double check that?
Last brought a hot thing of Danishes. If anyone wants to dig in.
That was a lingonberry jelly.
They're like donuts with holes in. I was always thinking, you know.
Bro Bible shows up with a 14 packs of cigarettes and a bag of heroin.
Oh, God. And a heart full of soul. And
where's the band?
How many harmonicas did you bring, Bro Bible?
One for each one of my lost loves. I was trying to think of a nickname for you. The Swede, maybe. I don't know. What do you think? The Swede?
Could work.
Sweeter than honeycomb. Or the meatballs at IKEA, you know.
Sweets.
Meatballs at IKEA.
Stir sweets a lot.
Stir sweets a lot.
Stir the pot, Swedish.
Stir Swedish.
You just call me the diabetic.
the Swedish fish.
One foot Swede. Setting in my insulin time. Just kidding. I don't have diabetes.
That's good. Shout us out to everybody that does. Good, yeah. Good luck.
Insulin is hot. Insulin's funny.
Insulin is in. Insulin.
We can rap on that one for a minute.
Insulin. Swedish insulin. The fresh stuff.
I go to my doctor. I've been complaining about too much sugar in my diet. I said, I've been taking so much insulin. You know, I've been eating the pink stuff from my walls. He goes, that's insulation. It has asbestos in it.
That's insulation. You might want to brush
and your
teeth.
And fiberglass. It's cool.
It looks
that's
like
insulation. Your gums are bleeding.
And probably your esophagus. But
tell me, I'm not a doctor. This is an Arby's.
Roast beef.
I'd give you some roast beef and you just bleed all over it.
I like the bell at Arby's, you know? It's like, if you see, you're from the south-ish.
Sure.
Virginia.
We got Arby's out here.
Yeah. There's Arby's. Well, we guess we have them here in California, too, but they're
one
staple.
Like 10 feet away.
In the
there's it's like 17.
Hey, we don't want any more hours of roast beef. Stop breaking in.
Hot
hair. We're like driving down Ventura, and Mike's like, is that Arby's? We're like, yeah. Somebody flipped out. There was a Dunkin' Donuts being added to the area. Flipped out about a Dunkin' Donuts. I was like, y'all.
It's not that good.
There are better donuts.
Who was the philosopher who once said, I think, therefore, are bees?
That was me.
That was like, of course. Yeah.
If you're going to wear a tunic all day, you might as well eat at Arby's. It's the only place you can go in with a tunic on.
Absolutely. I applaud them for disrupting the fast food market. You know, there's burgers everywhere. Then Taco Bell brings in this thing. It's like, think outside the bun. You know who really thought outside the bun? Hey, who wants some fast food sandwich meat? You know, who wants some sweet roast beef in between two things? And we got horseradish sauce.
So, we got 17 different kinds of roast beef sandwiches. Big one.
Big one of these. Anyways.
I don't know if I've ever even had Arby's, to be honest.
Well, if you do, you got to ring the bell.
I mean, I'm sure I have. Up. It's like a little croissant potato bread with the
absolutely
roast beef in it.
Yep.
I feel like I have, but I feel like it was like at an emergency shelter during a hurricane or something like that.
That's pretty bad.
Hurricane Katrina brought to you by Arby's.
It was like we were like in this, like everyone's covered in water and we're shivering and they bring out a plate of roast beef hamburgers from Arby's and you're like, oh, this is so good.
And they use the buns for flotation devices. That's how they reach the people.
Nowadays you go to Arby's and they douse you with water and put you in an emergency area and serve you a sandwich.
It's to bring the experience back. Yeah. Really. To fully immerse you. It's a 4D experience. Yeah, you get sprayed and
it's kind of like Universal theme park. Kind of like a weird bumpy little thing that goes to the Arby's.
It's like when people are in California and they'll be like, I didn't really like In-N-Out Burger. You're like, you didn't get the right order, right? It's like, I didn't really like Arby's. No, you didn't get sprayed by water.
It wasn't a big enough emergency. I loved Arby's, but we almost died.
Yeah. We lost my cousin. Lots of water in his lungs.
It was the first thing we ate when we thought we were going to be alive, finally.
But hot damn if that roast beef ain't great.
So great. So great. For years, I didn't even understand it. Why would anyone eat a roast beef sandwich?
Well, it was Stephen Arby, I believe, back in 1800s, who finally figured out, you know, everybody's eating just this beef. And he's like, what if we roasted it?
Yeah, what if we slice it and then put it on the bread?
And squeeze some cheddar sauce all over it. Some weird onion bread. And yeah, put it in a hat-shaped restaurant. That's what we'll do.
I mean, honestly, that works.
Yeah, that was the one.
That was the idea where they were like, we found like the fit of this thing.
They were like, the McDonald's looks like two hats, so let's go with one.
Because you know there was, exactly. We did a double guy. You know there was a guy down the street at a competitive roast beef place who was like, I'm doing that stupid hat thing. And that guy is out of business.
Where is he now?
Yeah.
Where is he now?
You don't have roast beef without the hat, you know?
You
clothe your head when you get into roast beef. It's not a topless restaurant, so to say. Except the one in Panama City Beach. That one is a topless restaurant. You go in there with whatever. Here, there, and everywhere.
The one in Daytona Beach is really just where you get coke. Nobody's buying sandwiches there.
I thought it was
walk in there, you're like, can I get a roast beef sandwich? They're like, what the fuck? Why would you want that?
Pepsi restaurant.
You're like, I'm at Arby's, and they're like, oh, what the fuck? This is Arby's.
Can I get the number one, the heater with cheese, please? Make that six, bro.
Extra Jago.
Can I get a discount for three?
Arby's, you do that though, right? You get the roast beef and the sandwich, and you just fucking...
It's like two for two.
Yeah.
It's got to be six. They have actually an excellent shake. This is something no one ever talks about. They have a Jamocha shake. I know this menu front to back, my friend. Haven't you seen my back tattoo? It's just the Arby's menu.
Mine's on the skank flank right here. You know, that's the new tramp stamp, right down the ribs.
Not the Arby's hat.
Yeah, it's Arby's sauce just pouring down my rib. I don't know.
I mean, people are either Arby's people or they aren't.
Yeah, they Arby's or they don't be.
Arby's.
Either Arby or they don't be.
Was that Shakespearean?
Holding to be a Arby stone. Or not Arby.
Bunch of guys sitting around in backwoods being like, how do we sell this roast beef? Let's make it Shakespearean.
Arby.
Well, Cletus, that sounds just good enough for work. Arby. Now, who the hell is Shakespeare?
Why are you going to be quoting this bullshit for us? What's the In-N-Out order that you need to get?
Wrong now we're getting to the nitty-gritty of the fast food industry. You know, we've skimmed the surface of roast beef. Now let's get into what really matters, which is the number one at In-N-Out. You get chopped chilies on the burger. Make sure they give you a whole grilled onion, because everybody knows onions sweeten the plate. Toast your bun, and then you get fries. Animal style, also put some chopped chilies on those. Mm-hmm. And then sub your drink out. You don't need a Dr. Pepper. You don't need a 7-Up. What you need is a cool Neapolitan shake and maybe an ice water to wash it all down. A Neapolitan shake, that's strawberry, chocolate, and vanilla all blended together in a cornucopia of, once again, diabetes.
Are you putting chopped jalapenos on everything?
Dude, it's those little yellow chilies that they got that are super spicy. Like, you don't eat them by themselves because it'll burn your mouth right off, clear you right out. Clear you out from that Arby's order. But These yellow chilies on a burger really are the missing piece. They cut them up and slice them into your burger. They mold them in. So you get this little kick.
Oh, that's love.
Ooh,
it's nice. It is very nice.
Ooh, I never heard of that before.
It's a secret ingredient. Because like you go inside to In-N-Out Burger and they have those. They have a little den for the yellow chilies to hang out in. But then you never think about just cut them up and put them in the burger when you're driving through.
Yeah, there's this little place in Wilmington, North Carolina. Called Winnie's Tavern. It's like on the back road by the ports and stuff. It's like they probably stay up until 6 a.m. Who knows? You know, just a trashy place, but they have the best burgers in the world. And that's what they do. They put jalapenos and onions like into the meat. It takes like 45 minutes to make a burger, but it's love.
Yeah. I'm sure that fast food line is out the door. The drive through is a little backed up.
Yeah, it gets a little crazy there. But
it sounds fantastic.
It's good amazing. Plug. You're over there.
Good plug for Winnie's.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Send us some meat.
Winnie's Tavern, what up? I'll be back.
Ship us some whiskey, Winnie's Tavern.
Yeah.
Is it just a fast food place?
It's that. It's a bar. It's like a bar with like pool tables, but they have like just one thing on their menu. It's like burgers and crispy fries cooked by like a grandma that's also the bartender with a bunch of like, you know, coked up old people that live in Wilmington.
I used to go to a Winnie's Tavern, but they only served honey. It was Winnie the Pooh's. He was a bear.
He was a bear with no pants on or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, much like I try to live my life. You know? Hey, we've all gotten stuck in holes looking for honey at one time.
Yeah, what's the deal with that guy? He always falls into shit and he can't get anything done.
He was
clumsy.
In trouble.
Yeah, he's very clumsy.
And he talked like this.
And then Eeyore was just like, might be a good day, but I doubt it. He's just like the worst ever. He's like, just like everybody's like, slit your wrist guy, you know? Like,
and then this crazy apex predator comes jumping around on his tail, like, hey, okay, hey, what's up, Bluey? What are you doing? Looking for a honey.
Ticker two. Yeah. I don't even know.
What a wild bunch, you know? What a wild bunch of those Winnie the Pooh characters were.
Yeah, he looks a lot like Calvin and Hobbes. That's like the same character.
Yeah.
But one's cooler.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, Calvin and Hobbes, are they on the same level as Winnie the Pooh? Is it way better?
I think Calvin and Hobbes transcends everything. Those dudes were like deep.
I feel like Winnie the Pooh is like the classic, and Calvin Hobbes is this guy.
Winnie the Pooh's for like children. It's like baby time.
Well, that was the whole thing you just mentioned, him pissing on the back of the car.
Yeah,
that was like Bill Watterson wrote Calvin and Hobbes. He's the cartoonist for the whole thing.
Yeah,
and he based it off his own like kid and like how we all want to be kids at some point, and your imaginary best friend. He never gave out the licensing rights or the merchandising rights for any of that stuff. And all of a sudden, one day, since he didn't copyright it or anything, they just started showing up with these bumper stickers of like Calvin pissing on Ford or the Dallas Cowboys or whatever. Yeah. You got, you know? So he's like, it's a surprise to him. This is supposed to be a wholesome thing. And all of a sudden, it's like a mark of like, yeah, stick it to the man, you know? Yeah. But it's like, no, but it's supposed to be deeper than that. You know, it's supposed to be like how we all want to be kids again and like slide down hills and go on adventures, basically.
That part not as cool as stick it to the man.
I know, yeah, but that's what we really want.
Stick it to the man is like such the thing about
it. I mean, it had an underlying stick it to the man. Like,
there is.
I mean, it's like, it, like you said, deep. It's like regarded as like the best comic of all time. I would think. I don't know what's better than that.
Calvin and Hobbes?
I would say. I don't know. It's kind of cult. It's
kind of like. Farside could be better.
Farside always.
Farside's good.
Calvin and Hobbes did get there, but Farside.
BC was good, I guess.
BC was good. Ziggy was good.
What was that one with the fucking Viking dude?
Hagar, the horrible.
That shit was not good, was it? I don't know.
No, but it was everywhere.
But it had cool graphics.
I only like, fucking around with Dilbert. My boy.
Dilbert's huge, dude. Dilbert might be huger than all of them.
I never got on that Scott Adams
on the line, man? You know, that guy, he's a wild
one. I feel like he wrote all of those Dilberts on the toilet.
Oh, for sure.
Sitting there, like his little
crafting
table was on.
I was under like that brown ink shit. That would be. Yeah.
This is my morning shit today. That's what he called his shit, Dilbert.
That's what he tells his wife. He's like, I'm going to draw Dilbert. He's like, is this because of the chili I made last night?
He's like, yeah, sure is.
Draw honey.
He made
Dilbert.
Four different Dilberts today. I know.
I told you not to use that vegan sriracha, fucker.
Can't Can't tell the difference in the vegan sriracha and normal sriracha.
Can't tell the difference. You heard it here. Absolutely. Touchdowns all day.
I got to draw a Dilbert.
Vegan sriracha. We're going to draw some Dilberts.
Oh, he's stuck. I got to draw a Dilbert. Hold on.
I'm taking this Dilbert to the far side. It's going to be Hagar the Horrible.
Damn.
Wow. You don't even need the English language to express yourself.
No, it's just a newspaper comic. That's all I need.
Cartoon titles. You're one pencil away from a whole career of cartooning.
Yeah, exactly. I wish, man. If only I could draw, you know.
You can't draw.
I can't draw. I'm a doodler a bit, but I don't draw too much, you know.
Just start drawing.
I think I should.
Yeah, just do it.
I'm working on the circle.
Just pick it up, man.
I can't draw either, though. I hear what you're saying.
I can kind of draw. My dad got, like, some artistic
ability. I can't, like, draw a triangle.
Yeah.
Like, my triangle looks like garbage.
Isosceles or Pythagoras, you know, all these.
It doesn't even look like a triangle. You'd look at it and be like, what is that? And be like, a triangle. And you'd be like,
it's got four sides and shit.
Like, that shit is that shit is scalene, bro.
What you're drawing is a square.
Like, that looks like a frog to me. Yeah.
That's a good looking frog.
Excuse me, but your shape is wrong. Excuse me, you've misnamed your shape.
And that's when I break out the protractor. If I roll up in my John Deere. Hey, you ladies, protractor.
Are you a fan of protracting?
Like, ladies, what? Find me protracting.
That's a good word.
Put out the protractor beam.
Hey. Protractor beam. It just attaches the nerds into the group and pulls them in. Everybody else is left alone.
But then I could talk about, like, you know, shapes with them after, you know. Luckily, I'm always after the nerd of the group.
Yeah.
We all should be. Yeah, no.
Mr. Robbins.
It's taking a beating there. Sure.
We did a solid 15 on Arby's, I think.
What is that? The Shure FM528. What is it? Just took a beating.
Four mics.
All I need is four mics.
Four mics.
Up from the 36 chambers. What? I'm the Osiris of this shit. Tank. Oh, shit. Osiris. Media. Bam.
Dude, Osiris. I'm the Egyptian god of death.
Is that what it is?
It is, yeah.
I'm the Osiris of this shit. Wu-Tang is here forever, motherfuckers. It's 9/7.
He's the Egyptian god of death, you know? I think the Egyptians would mummify these cats, right?
I think they got other shit.
Take out their organs and all their entrails and then take out their eyes and then mummify them, put them in pyramids. And the whole thing was for Osiris, who was like the god of death.
Ooh.
Egyptians.
I think he's wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, check that out.
I think he's the god of other things, too.
Peace and love type of god, probably. You know what I mean?
check out my boy, Osiris.
Osiris is the god of chainsaws and decapitation.
Have you ever seen...
Oh, shit. I was thinking of Sammy Hagar. Yeah, you're right, dude. You got me. I was way off. Nobody's chill, too, you know?
That sounds like, about right.
Yeah.
While he's wearing, like, a Hawaiian shirt, too. Like, he's real cool.
Yeah, seriously. Actually, most people murdering are wearing a Hawaiian shirt. Just to say, you're not being very specific.
Every day's Friday.
Dilbert callback.
Dilbert call.
TGIF.
He wants his Hawaiian shirt, please.
Dilbert called. He needs more toilet paper. It was not funny at all. It
was Picasso-esque.
Worst Dilbert that I've ever drawn.
But we printed it anyway.
Pain. I was trying. Oh, it hurts so bad, that Dilbert. It's crazy. What did I eat last night? This made me draw something. What else should we do? What should we do? How do we make it like a skit out of this or something? How do we make a funny moment?
Organically.
Yeah. How do we organically create?
Organic creation.
Funny moment naturally.
Probably write something.
How do we make a funny moment appear without doing anything?
Yeah.
I guess just be normal.
I don't know.
I mean,
we got to the roast beef thing, dude. It's like jammed, dude. Like, you just got to find the peak of, like, what is the funniest joke you can come
out
with,
bro.
That shit, dude. Like, drawing your cartoons as a newspaper cartoonist, like, on the toilet.
And then Dilbert's like the shittiest one. So then it's like, you know, it's like drawing a Dilbert.
No, I think Dilbert might be the best. podcast.
I don't know though. It might be. It's just such.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm thinking about.
I mean, Farside is definitely.
Like they made a TV show and stuff.
Did Farside the characters were
maybe
Dilbert was a TV show, right? Yeah.
Did they give him a TV show?
How many seasons?
He's made all of that merchandise. Like they're so.
Lisa, look up how many seasons of Dilbert. In the other room.
85.
Can we get a walkie-talkie to Miss Lisa in the other room?
Actually, I heard Game of Thrones is loosely based off Dilbert, actually.
No way.
Like, the plot structure is.
The last season, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last, like, Dilbert. When it went downhill.
Yeah.
Right into the toilet. Get it? The Dilbert.
The last line of Game of Thrones.
The toilet. That's what you should do. Is you should have people over to your house, and then whenever somebody wants to use the toilet, you should refer to it as the toilet. Yeah, just play it from there.
The toilet's through the door on your left. They're like, "What'd you say?"
Please use the toilet.
Like, is that? I don't understand. Where's the toilet?
What is the toilet?
Fucking toilet? Like, are you saying toilet or the door?
Why is the full over so slippery?
You don't have toilet paper, you just have fucking little doilets.
I'm saying that here's the doilet. You may use it if you so desire.
Whatever.
It sounds very regal.
Just like, there's also toilet paper.
Just go in. I'm just going to go in there and start pissing on the door.
Dissing on the door frame.
Dissing on the door frame.
I'm going to diss in your bathtub. You keep this up.
Yeah, sure. I'll diss it over there in your toilet.
Yeah, nice fucking toilet, dude.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a deuce in your deucelet. That's what I'm gonna do.
We have to just change one letter of the word, and you become a vigilante. A pooping vigilante. What'd you call it? A toilet? Fuck you. Piss on the sink and the wall.
Hey, I'm not pointing any fingers, but someone left a dirt in your dink.
And you're just like, I didn't say toilet. I said toilet. I just had some bubble in my mouth. Why did you destroy my bathroom?
You know, like, yeah, I was over at,
we're far past that.
I was over at John's
Who
house.
Smeared all this shit on my wall.
Shit all over these walls, right?
Who drew a full Dilbert cartoon on my wall in pieces? DC's.
You got the punchline wrong.
The poo on the wall by Who Flung Do.
I don't know why you thought I said toilet. What's wrong with you? I showed you where the toilet was. What the fuck is wrong with you? It was fine. I just looked in there. Pretty sure you just destroyed the bathroom. Why did you do that? Because you said toilet.
I thought you said soil it. I don't know. I'm just like, all right, man, I guess.
Yeah, we don't really go over to that side of the douse anymore ever since the accident.
The toilet incident. Fuck, dude. That made no sense at all, but that was funny.
There's some parts maybe there, like a 20-second piece.
Something to build off of. The D-chicks.
You never know what's going to be funny when we listen back to it. You never know what the good part's going to be.
Yeah.
What'd you guys do this week? I don't know. I saw you making a bunch of lunches for somebody on your Instagram story.
We made sandwiches and on Melrose. We laid the bread down on these giant picnic tables. And then we laid the cheese down.
Like
and
an
then,
assembly line.
Party sub? Huge, party sub style? Yeah.
Yeah, it was just like literally like 40-foot long tables. And we just laid bread down the whole thing and laid cheese down the whole thing. And then nobody would lay the meat.
Veganism?
Right. Veganism.
That's gotta be in
LA. They were all like, they all stopped when the meat came out and they were like, you have to do it. And I was like,
so you
okay,
were the meat man?
I was gonna do it anyways.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we can't do it. You have to do it. We vegan, we can't even touch meat and put it on somebody else's sandwich.
This brings me back to that Arby's, like, you know, their slogan, we got the meats, where they got that like fucking Skrillex song. It's like
yeah, they must fucking hate that slogan. They literally wouldn't touch meat. We did all the bread and everything.
You were the meat guy?
I did all the meat.
How many meats did you place?
I mean, it must have been 7,000.
Wow.
It was like
easily 7,000.
And I had to count 3 or 4 pieces per sandwich.
Right.
I was getting
so I must have lightly touched 28,000 pieces of meat.
I was there 28,000 sandwiches.
Yeah, there's four pieces of meat on every sandwich.
Who else was there?
7,000 sandwiches.
Who was there with you? Like a bunch of LA chicks and like dudes?
Leah was there. Leah's a good friend of mine. She organizes it. Michelle Cash was there. She's a Spotify singer.
Nice.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, these guys. No.
No, he wasn't there.
Oh, okay. Not the Lakers.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was at the Malibu Triathlon. He was the host.
Fantastic.
Of which I performed in the Malibu Triathlon.
Fantastic.
Not very well, but I'm just kidding.
I mean, literally, the guy who ran a marathon in 2 hours ran a whole marathon in less time than it took me to do the triathlon. But, you know.
Eliud Kipchoge. Yeah. Was that right?
What does the Malibu Triathlon go through? It's like Malibu. Swimming? Yeah, just all Malibu.
You run you run into the ocean from the beach.
From Jack Nicholson's backyard. Yeah, like, you just run off like his property.
You know, there's a beach there. What's it called?
Chairs property.
Zuba. Yeah, Zuba Beach. Sure, yeah, yeah.
It's there. Mm-hmm. So you run into the water.
Zuba Beach.
And then you swim a lot. And then you come out of the water, and then you bike up and down the 101, which is dope. They close the lights off. You don't have to hit the brakes and stoplights. And you just come down those hills screaming fast, and you're, like, going along the beach, and you're ripping through that shit. That's the best part, by far.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
by far. The swim is a holy nightmare.
I'm sure.
It's the worst half an hour of your life, but it should only take 15 minutes.
But, the backstroke is a fair stroke.
Yeah. Oh, man. I was doing the backstroke for a while. So my friend was in a marathon in Seattle, and it's supposed to be 26.2 miles, obviously. He had his Nike app with him, and the Nike app said he ran 32 miles.
What?
Like, not even fucking close. So I don't know if the race organizers are just shitty.
Or Canadian.
Or the app is wrong.
Maybe they're on metric or something.
Yeah, I think the app is wrong, but I swear to God that swim that I did was way longer.
It's got to be, right? I mean, between currents and
I thought I was going to swim a half mile. I was out there for like 4 hours trying to make it.
Just do it longer.
Yeah. I was like, who measured this shit?
Who does take the tape measure out into the ocean? Like, no, this is how far you should go.
This is a half mile. Oh, no question. There's a chicken sandwich in the water over there. Try and swim around that. But yeah, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was there. He was the host.
Cool.
Nice.
I did not expect. I've never seen him in live before.
He's fantastic.
He's just as tall as he used to be.
Wow. Giant.
Yeah.
It's good to know they don't shrink. You know?
Yeah, people don't shrink. My grandmother shrank like crazy. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar hasn't
grown. I saw him.
He's grown, if anything. He's 70 feet tall now. That's how they measure how far you swim. Kareem just lies down.
He lays down and you swim next to him. It is crazy how big he is.
He's a writer for a bunch of TV shows now, you know? Like, really? He's on Airplane,
he's
obviously.
He's pretty old,
you know?
Is he?
But now he writes for, I don't know, is that Alias or something? You know, is that show still on? But he's a writer, you know? He's kind of blossomed in this, like, showbiz career out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Besides being just
I saw him pretty recently. He's pretty old now, yeah? I mean, he's like...
getting up there.
Yeah, I mean, he's like... I saw him, like, I don't know, a year ago, probably. I was, like, bartending the NBA awards in, like, the Barker Hangar in Santa Monica or something.
Nice.
And he, like, came out of the bar, and he was, like, sweaty. And he, like,
15 tequila shots.
I gave him, like, my bar rag that, like, you know, because I didn't have anything else. And he was, like, yeah, it's cool, whatever. I was, like, it might not be clean, you know. And then Baron Davis was there, and it was pretty cool. He, like, parked his little scooter behind my bar.
Drug scooter?
Yeah, he was, like, lives in the neighborhood and was just, like, cruising on one of those, like, Ubi scooters or something.
No shit, really?
He's like, hey, man, I remember you from the Polo Lounge. Like, what's up, Mike? You know, like, put my scooter back here? I was like, fuck yeah, Baron Davis. Like, of course.
Was Baron Davis a Laker?
What was he? He was definitely a Laker.
He was a Hornet. He was, like, Charlotte style, yeah.
Celtics ever? I don't fucking know.
He was definitely a Laker for a minute.
He was a baller for all his life.
Was he?
Yeah, he's really good.
I think he was, like, good, but I didn't realize it. He was never on a New York area team.
Yeah, he's sneaky good. I mean, he's like...
Of course, he was English royalty for a while.
Yes, that
Baron
part.
Baron Von Davis. Yeah. He had a bunch of serfs working for him. The Baron himself.
He actually didn't touch the ball. He went over to the court and just demanded.
Out of my way, peasants. You go rebound for me.
There's a ball over there. Get
it.
Top, top.
Get it, bring it back, put it in the basket.
Or you owe me 3 bushels of corn.
We have some hot edibles.
Yeah? Should we eat some?
That'll end this conversation.
Yeah, that conversation turned into...
It's like,
hey, man.
I love you.
Dilbert's pretty good, man.
So wait, when you were in the Malibu Triathlon, did you swim a lot?
Doggy paddle, man.
Doggy paddle,
motherfucker.
Doggy.
Dogs shouldn't swim, man.
Bow wow.
Slow.
Yippee yo, yippee yay. Death row is a liver that pays me.
So does Snoop Dogg get a pass for like getting super high?
Yeah, because on my mind,
he has a long history of getting high, and there seems to be apparently.
Yeah, he's just got like a pass. Yeah.
He just never has a problem.
People know he's good at it.
It's why like, would? Yeah, he's good. He's literally good
he can drive.
He, just he can drive as stoned as he wants.
His phone.
Like, yeah, he's
a fucking pro.
Nothing ever happens.
He's
Snoop Dogg.
His dick. Yeah,
just like whatever, man.
Police Snoop are concerned bitch. If he's not doing this. Yeah, they're like, oh no, we need to pull.
We saw
Snoop driving inside the line.
Bag attention to the road.
The speed limit time.
Wait, we're gonna pull him over and see what's going on. Maybe he needs weed.
Is everything okay?
Snoop. Snoop. We have weed. Can we get you some?
I just saw Snoop driving.
He needs 3 cc's. He needs 3 hash bags ASAP.
Shoot him up.
Hey guys, we just saw Snoop coming down the PCH. There was no smoke in the car.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody get that motherfucker up blood.
He's listening to You're So Vain by Carly Simon. ASAP. So amazing.
You really got to hand it to his management. They sat down and they were like, you know, Snoop, we need you to make some content.
He's going
to
graduate to be like the Willie Nelson of rap.
He already is, right? I mean, those guys are super tight. Did you see this movie, The Beach Bum? Did you see this movie?
No.
This movie's amazing. It's Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, yeah, Matthew McConaughey. I saw that. I saw the trailer for it. That's the movie that pissed me off.
The trailer.
There's a scene. You didn't like the trailer?
No. Loved the trailer.
That's what happened to me. I like the trailer.
I hate
the
way.
It's a little.
I don't like the delay between when they show me the trailer and when they allow me to go buy the fucking movie.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't. When they see the trailer, I have a 48-hour window, which that trailer will get me to go to the movie.
Right.
And hour 49, it's like you're bringing it up now. I'm like, I don't even know what movie you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so they did it with a bunch of movies this year, with the Brad Pitt movie in outer space, Ad Astra.
Oh, Ad Astra, yeah, yeah.
Best trailer ever. And then I was like sitting there looking at it, and I was like, I'm going to go see this movie right now.
Yep.
And it wasn't out for like 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And 4 weeks later, I was in Vermont. You know what I mean? It's like,
who's setting reminders on their phone? Yeah. Being like, oh, I need to go see the Brad Pitt space.
Like every day you wake up, I'm like, I don't remember 3 more weeks to the Brad Pitt movie.
And every day, like Christmas morning, like rubbing your hands together.
12 days to Ad Astra. Like, what an arrogant bunch of pricks. Like, show me the movie now. Coca-Cola, when they tell you go have a Coke,
I'm ready.
They don't take them off the shelves for 28 days after they show you the commercial.
In four weeks, you may have a Coca-Cola.
Wouldn't you like a Coke
just
right now?
Some bitch, not now.
Space Coke.
Wait.
Walmart
for
will have Coke in 26 days.
Wait for it. Oh, it's going to be dope.
Wait for it. You're going to get yourself a soda. Ooh, so refreshing. Ooh, so delicious.
Don't you want that shit?
26 more days.
You want that shit?
That's the fucking marketing plan for this movie.
That's stupid.
Wait
Hollywood.
30 days to see
this
a movie.
Flat as hell.
Like, okay, they're not even trying that hard. Matthew McConaughey's wearing a mullet.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, no. He's got like a blonde wig.
I can't possibly have to wait 26 days for Matthew McConaughey to mullet.
You can walk a mile down the road and see that going on in person. Right?
That movie.
You'll be drinking a Pabst Blue Ribbon by the 405
Pole. I can go meet the real thing in 8 minutes right now.
That movie was actually filmed in one day. Matthew McConaughey's house in the Palisades. They just went to his backyard and shot the whole fucking thing.
Like, smoke this joint with Snoop Dogg and just say a bunch of stone shit.
We got Congress. We got Congress. You can get naked.
Snoop Dogg actually wasn't actually in it.
Snoop Dogg was just driving by.
It's a hologram, man.
He was just driving by and they were like, oh, we got Snoop.
Yeah, Snoop.
Snoop's in the movie.
Is that him not smoking a blunt? Oh, don't worry.
We'll post it in.
Driving the speed limit? Wait, we got him.
Can you paint in some fucking puff clouds?
Snoop Dogg's wearing like an Argyle sweater and having like a pretzel with mustard on
croquet
it.
Croquet mallet on
CGI Matthew McConaughey.
Hey, it looked great.
And then they make us wait 29 days to watch it. It's like...
Well, the reason I brought up that movie is it's him, Matthew McConaughey. There's a great scene in it. It's Matthew McConaughey, Snoop, and Jimmy Buffett sitting in a hot tub, and there's these like Miami strippers just all over them, and they're just telling a story about how Matthew McConaughey is won by the law, and they're just like, just start dressing like a
Imagine
lady, man.
That.
Just start dressing like a lady, and you're going to get out of it just fine. He goes, that's the best idea I ever heard.
All right,
and
the
rest
right.
of the movie just wears dresses, never gets caught. but they're just all swapping stories, man. It's like, you see Jimmy Buffett, Snoop Dogg, and Matthew McConaughey in a hot tub, you watch that movie, I think.
I get in that fucking hot tub.
I would stay out of that hot tub, but I would just
I'm just kidding.
I'll find a nice chair on the side and definitely listen in.
I would sit behind one of those mirrors that you can't see through.
I meant like in air quotes.
The jacuzzi isn't a police station.
It's a holding cell. That's what I meant, actually.
I would go in there. I'd send someone in there to question them.
It was a bold move for them to shoot on site in Guantanamo Bay. But I respect the decision.
I mean, look, when you have those kind of budgets, you do that kind of dumb shit.
Hey, they got great tax-free credits down in Cuba. Yeah,
exactly. The weed down there is not as good, but whatever. You can bring your own.
And it's not weed. It's chili pepper. Weed.
It's grass.
Yeah, it's grass. Yo, Cuba. It's Fidel Castro's mustache that you actually swagging that down there.
Play the deep playa trance.
Yeah. deep. Like.
Yeah.
But then halfway through, you just go into like the dum 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 dum.
Every song has a salsa break.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, people love that stuff.
Cuba's a little slower, though. It's more like...
I got a text 5 minutes ago that Brandon's been ringing your doorbell.
Come on, Bro Bible's here.
Bro Bible's here.
We're mass communicating.